My name is Emery Foley. I am 16 years old. Today is February 15th, 2021, and I'm speaking with Christy Foley, who is my mom. We are recording this interview in Mooresville, North Carolina. Had you always known you wanted to speak publicly ever since you were little? And if so, what had sparked this enthusiasm towards public speaking?
I think it's fair to say that I was always an extrovert. I sang in the choir at church, I performed in children's plays, and I even did public theater as a child. So yeah, I think I always knew that I wanted to speak publicly.
What did you feel when you had first forgotten your oral speech at the fourth grade oratorical contest?
So when I was in fourth grade, my teachers had recommended that I represent our class in an oratorical contest, and the expectation was you would get up and speak without notes, anything written, about a topic of interest. And I got up to the podium and I started to speak, and about 7 to 10 minutes into the speech, I couldn't remember anything. I completely froze. I was mortified, actually. I was completely embarrassed. It was a small audience. It was mostly family and close friends. But I was absolutely humiliated. I started to cry on the stand, and eventually I could never compose myself and I could never get the words back. So eventually I just sat down with my family.
So how would you say this event impacted and set up your almost entire career path in life?
So I don't know if it shaped my entire career path, but it did teach me a lot about resilience. So initially, as I said, I was really embarrassed, and I didn't have a lot of faith in myself in terms of being in front of an audience. But I kept practicing. I did some community local theater, mostly behind the scenes kind of work, so mostly chorus or extras in a play. But I didn't give up, actually. And I think what I learned more than anything is that there are setbacks. You can try something and not succeed, but it doesn't mean you're a failure. It means that you had a setback and you just keep trying.
Who had the biggest impact on you as you were continuing this public speaking path in your life?
So it's hard to name a single person. I would say that my mom always believed in me, even though I embarrassed myself publicly. She always believed that I could do it and continued to sign me up for enrichment classes in the summer. I did a lot of drama in the summer, a lot of acting, and that really helped. But there was one really pivotal moment in high school, actually, where I had an 11th grade English teacher, and she was really demanding of her students. She was a hard teacher, and she made all of us get up and do live performance of traditional English literature. And I'll never forget getting up and performing a part of Mice and Men by Steinbeck. It was a pivotal moment because I really nailed the character. I really studied the character. I really worked hard to get the language right, the words right, and was also very into the character. It was a character of some significant mental disabilities and was very into him and the character. And she was very taken aback by my commitment to the character and my ability to get up in front of a small audience, you know, a classroom of 30 people. But she was very supportive and told me how much she appreciated my effort, and I ended up with an A+ on that assignment, and it felt really good, and she encouraged me to continue my public speaking work.
So how would you say you recovered from such a setback at this oratorical speech?
So it was really hard, and I think the only way I would say I recovered is just continuing to do the work and not giving up and trying. It was hard for a few months after. I was really embarrassed, but then I focused on getting better. At some point you have to decide if you're bad at something, you can let it defeat you or you can work harder and get better at it. And that's what I did.
What have you done to persevere and continue to get better with your speaking skills?
So, interestingly, in college, I ended up taking several classes that really honed my public speaking skills. One in particular stands out. So I took a acting for non-majors course, and I had a number of small, intimate performances, solo performances, in front of an audience that really forced me to be very present in character and also not so much be about myself, but be about what I was portraying to an audience. And it was really instrumental in helping me feel comfortable on a stage. And then as an adult and in graduate school, I had to give presentations, you know, every other week at least. And since as an adult, I've given talks to very large international audiences of 1,000 people or more, sometimes in an English language and sometimes in an English language translated to a foreign language. And so you need to know how to engage an audience. And it's not always easy, but if you know what you're talking about and you feel good about it and you are enthusiastic and care about your subject matter, I think it comes across.
So what would you consider to be your most memorable moment as you continue to persevere and get where you are today work-wise?
So that is a really interesting question. I'm going to give you a story of where I feel like I failed miserably but then overcame. So in about 2013, I was giving a presentation, and I was in Germany, and I was giving a talk about my research, and there was a person in the audience who absolutely refuted my findings, said my findings were impossible, that they couldn't be true. It was a politically motivated controversy, actually. And what I realized in that moment is that my data were they were valid and they could stand on their own. They didn't need me as much as the data were very strong and I could portray them in a very honest, objective, and forthright way. And so eventually I came, and this gentleman was really, really giving me a hard time about my data, in part because it didn't fit with his ideology. And in the end, I just said, you know, we can appreciate each other's differences and we have different ways of approaching a problem. This is my way and these are the data and I feel good about what I found and I stand by them. And this was an audience of 1,500 people. It was very public and it was very disconcerting because I was absolutely put on the spot. But in the end, I knew I had spoken what I believed to be true. I'd presented data that were very honest and forthright. And it wasn't ideological. My perspective was very science-driven, and I could feel good about that. And I got a lot of feedback from that meeting, actually, people from all over the world. So this was an international meeting, and I got people from all over the world I'd never met writing me and saying, you handled yourself with respect, and you were objective and honest with your data, and you acknowledged the limitations of your data, and you handled yourself beautifully in a very public and very difficult situation. Kudos to you. And I knew at that moment that I was very comfortable in a public speaking presence, in part because I can present an idea and defend it very comfortably, and I don't have to be ideological about it. I'm a scientist. That's what I do. And, you know, other people are not exactly like that. And I walked away uncomfortable and a little bit disconcerted with the exchange, but in the end I walked away feeling good because I knew that what I presented was fair and honest. And I think other people saw that.
Okay, so if you could have done anything differently along your journey, would you? And if yes, what would you have done differently?
I've had a really amazing journey. And I'm very fortunate to have had good mentors and good support in my academic career and in my career of moving forward to a more public presence. If I could have done anything differently, it would have been to trust myself earlier on and put myself in training and mentorship opportunities for leadership earlier. I've been very gifted and blessed in many ways that I have had good mentors who guided me, but I think I would have sought it earlier. But nonetheless, in the end, I'm very grateful because I think I've had a great career in, you know, overall, and no regrets.
As of today, what would you say is your proudest accomplishment or one of them?
Personally, my proudest accomplishments are my children, frankly. They're amazing people, good-hearted. Professionally, my proudest accomplishments are before the age of 40, I got my first really large grant. There aren't that many people who can say that. So most people don't get their first very large independent investigator award until they're over the age of 40, and I got mine early. I was a Fulbright scholar, which is a huge accomplishment, and I helped transform national policy in two countries. So in Hungary and Romania, when I first arrived and before I started doing work there, you couldn't go to a restaurant where they didn't smoke, and the work that my teams did actually transformed national policy. That means that if you go there now, you can go to a restaurant and people aren't smoking around you. That was huge. And I had the real privilege, an excellent public speaking privilege, actually, of going to Bucharest, which is in the Romanian parliament. So I sat in parliament and talked to the leaders of the government and said, you know, there are ways that you can improve the population's health through reducing public smoking access and secondhand smoke exposure. And we really transformed policy in a whole country. So that's amazing. More recently, I've been really privileged to be named an executive leadership and academic medicine fellow. So each year there are 60 women who are selected to participate in a leadership development experience nationally. And I'm one of those women this year. And I feel really honored that I could be named that person. I don't know that when I grew up, I could have ever imagined that. But I've worked hard for it, so I've earned it. But I also have had a lot of really good people supporting me along the way. And I'm very grateful for them.
And to end on a good note, if you had to leave the reader with one thing they should hold on to, what wisdom would this be?
So in my world, in academia, there is probably more failure than success. And that's true. I mean, you submit grants, you get up in front of audience and you do public speaking exercises and you submit papers and peer review. The people who you think are your colleagues, they judge you and they review you. And most of the time, you don't get the answer you want. But if I could leave you with anything, it's you got to persevere. You don't give up. If you believe in the work that you're doing and that it's important, then it's important to be public and get out there, then you keep doing it. And so I would say resilience in almost all things in life is the most important quality a person can have in terms of professional success, because there will always be setbacks. There will always be someone who is in your way or some idea that's in your way, and you just keep going after it. Go after what you believe is important. And do things that matter to you. You know, I do the work that I do because I love what I do. And I'm really good at what I do. And the work that I do makes a difference in people's lives. And that's the most important thing to me. And I would want that for anyone. Do the work that matters. Really,